Gittin, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Base 4:2. In the previous Mishnah, we had talked about how a man who sends his wife a get by means of an agent, a shaliach, so he can revoke the authority that he gave that agent, provided he does it either by telling the agent directly or telling the wife that he's revoked that authority. And that was so that there should be no confusion, and the wife should think she's divorced when she really isn't, and then get remarried when she really was a married woman, and then have children who are mamzerim, which would be catastrophic. Now, the truth is that really me'ikra din, according to Torah law, the husband would need to tell the agent or the wife that he revoked that authority. He could simply, technically in front of just two people, revoke that authority. And the truth is, normally when it comes to appointing an agent, even just saying it without the two people witnessing it would be enough to revoke the authority. But here, because he gave the authority to the agents in front of two people, which is a requirement because of this davar sheba'erva issue that requires two witnesses. So therefore, he appoints the agent with two witnesses. Therefore, at a minimum, he has to revoke the agency in front of two witnesses. But the point is, if he does that and the agent doesn't know and the wife doesn't know, then she will come to potentially have mamzerim, as I said before. And therefore, there was an original enactment to stop that from happening, which our mission refers to now. It says, Barishona haya osa bezdin b'makom acher umavatlo. Originally, the husband could convene an ad hoc bezdin, getting three men together, and wherever he wants, and say, you know what? Guess what? The person who I appointed to be my shaliach, I'm revoking his authority. And the thought was that enactment would, since there's the bezdin of three, it would have some element of publicity. It'd have a kol, as Chazal talked about, like a voice, a sound would go out, and people would know, and she would learn that he had revoked the authority, and therefore the get wasn't binding. The problem is, word doesn't move that fast necessarily, and she might not get word of it, and therefore bad things could happen. And therefore, Hiskin Rabban Gamliel Hazaken, Rabban Gamliel the elder, this is not the usual Rabban Gamliel we see in most of the Mishnayos, who was basically the first Nasi that served after the Chorban, not including Rabban Yochanan Zakkai, who was temporarily there. This was that Rabban Gamliel's grandfather. And this Rabban Gamliel, Hazaken, the elder, was like a grandson of Hillel, the elder. Okay, so he lived during the Beis HaMikdash, the end of the second Beis HaMikdash period. And he made this takana, Shaloyu Osenkain, that people may not do that. They may not revoke the authority from an agent, even in front of a bezin of three, Bipnei Tikkun HaOlam, for the sake of making the world a better place, for the general good, for fixing up the world. And this topic of Tikkun HaOlam, making takanas to prevent things from going wrong, and making the world a better place, really, will become the topic now of the rest of the parak, essentially. Okay, so that now becomes the halacha, that a person has only two options, notifying the shliach himself, in which case he actually wouldn't need two witnesses, because once the shliach knows, that's reneging the authority, that's sufficient, or telling the wife that he has revoked authority from the shliach who's arriving later on with the get, that would require two witnesses, technically. Those are his only two options. Now, the truth is, since me'ikra din, as far as Torah halacha is concerned, even if he did it in front of two people, unbeknownst to the shliach, unbeknownst to the wife, that would be effective. It just would be contravening this takana of Rabban Gamliel, hazaken. So therefore, while the get would be annulled, he'd be in violation of this din derabanan, and he would face the consequences of what's called makos mardus, like rabbinic lashes, rabbinically imposed lashes, because he violated, what the rabbi said he should be doing. Okay, so that's part one. Now, speaking of other takanos for tikkun olam, here we go to the next one. Barashona originally haya mishana shmo ushma. Originally, let me not translate this, let me just explain this first. Originally, you had couples, like you could have today also, where they had changed their names. So, when they lived in Chutz La'aretz, the names were, Peter and Penelope, and now they're Pinchas and Penina, when they moved to Eretz Yisrael. So everyone knows them as Pinchas and Penina over here, but back home, they know them as Peter and Penelope. So the question is, how should the get be written? So, it says, Barishon originally Hayim Meshana Shmo Shma. They would change the couple's name to reflect how they were known locally. Even though the get's going to say, Pinchas divorced Penina when Penina moves back to her hometown back in St. Louis, So everyone knows her now. No one knows that her name is Penina. She's back to being Penelope. And her get in St. Louis doesn't reflect her name. That could lead to confusion. But that's how they used to do it. Same goes for Shem Irov or Shem Ira. They'd also put down the name of these, where these people were from. And this could mean that if the name is either A, known by two different names, you know, Bombay and Mumbai, or Siam and Thailand, or whatever it was, so you could have two different names that changed over time, or even if it's the same, the name didn't change, but it's known in two different names at the same time, which also could happen, you know. So, for example, the Jews, almost historically, Jews very often changed the name of their hometowns, like a Jewish name. So the city of Mainz in Germany was known to the Jews as Magenza, same place, just two different names, and it happened all over the place. So the point is, again, they would change it to just the local name as they knew it, the name over here locally. The problem was, of course, again, people will not recognize the name of the place or recognize the name of the person being referred to because they've changed their names or referred to by a different name. And therefore, Hiskin Rabban Gamliel Hazaken, Shehei Kosev, Rabban Gamliel made the enactment that they have to write in the get, Ish Ploni Vochol Shem Sheishlo, which translates literally as Mr. So-and-so, and whatever their names he happens to have. Same goes for Isha Polonis, Mrs. whatever her name is, V'chol Shum She'yeshla, whatever name she happens to have, but Metikun Olam again to make the world a better place, to fix any potential problems where people wouldn't recognize her get as being binding. Now, Rabbeinu Tam learns this kind of as you would expect it to be, that he that it means if that the get should say, you know, Pinchas, otherwise known as Peter, is divorcing Penina, otherwise known as Penelope. And that would be written in the get so that all the names are clarified. That's what Rabbeinu Tam learns. And that's the Ramah Paskins, L'chad Hila should be done. But the Shulchan Aruch says, the Mechaber says, that it should be written kind of as the Mishnah says. You'd say his name, Pinchas, and V'chol Shem She'eshlo, and whatever other names he's known as. In other words, you don't specify the names. You just have, add that extra phrase in there to say, you know, and whatever the names he might be known by elsewhere. Same goes for their locations. And the same machlokas exists. And that's the Mechaber Paskins. Like, that's like the Bahag learns like that, for example. So, in any case, you have machlokas how to do it. Certainly, the get has to be conforming to one of those two opinions because of the stakana. That's how it should be done. But how they deal with it varies a little bit in terms of Hagam and Bezdin to Bezdin, how they deal with the complexities of people having multiple names and being from multiple places and so on as the world's become a much more complicated place.